the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
More countries have joined the protest against American proposals to place armed guards on U.S.-bound flights. Portugal is the latest nation to voice concern as its civil aviation authority said that putting loaded guns aboard an aircraft could endanger it. In Britain, the pilots' union said that if the security risk to a flight is great enough to warrant an armed guard, the plane should not fly at all. Denmark and Sweden have also rejected demands for armed guards and aircraft. While the U.S. has introduced new checks at home, its efforts to tighten security on incoming flights have met with strong opposition. Brazil has begun fingerprinting and photographing U.S. citizens flying into its airports, apparently in retaliation for new security measures at U.S. airports. 2 years ago, a man in Staten Island, New York, discovered inside one of his pieces of mail a stack of fake documents, including United Nations and Defense Department identification cards and a note, "We would hate to have this fall into the wrong hands." The package, intended for a member of a self-styled militia in New Jersey, had been delivered to the wrong address. Starting with a single piece of mail, investigators discovered an enormous cache of weapons in Noonday, East Texas, including the makings of a sophisticated sodium cyanide bomb capable of killing thousands of people. Three people pleaded guilty in the case in November and are scheduled to appear before a federal judge for sentencing next month on charges of domestic terrorism. The Bush administration asked the Supreme Court to let it keep its argument secret in a case involving an immigrant's challenge of his treatment after the September 11th attacks. Mohammed Kamel Behoul wants the High Court to consider whether the government acted improperly by secretly jailing him after the attacks and keeping his court fight private. He is supported by more than 20 journalism organizations and media companies. Lucie Dalgish, executive director of the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, said she was disappointed by the government's request. "It just emphasizes our point that we're living in frightening times. People can be arrested, thrown in jail, and have secret court proceedings, and we know absolutely nothing about it." More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A teenage burglar escaped from the custody of security guards and then survived an 8-story drop out of a Times Square office building, police said. The 19-year-old woman was caught trying to steal wallets from coats in an office building, and while guards were waiting for police officers to arrive, she escaped, opened a 10th-floor window, and stepped onto a ledge overlooking busy 42nd Street, where police said she either fell or jumped and landed on scaffolding on the second floor, breaking several bones. The woman was arrested and charged with burglary. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
As a patriotic, tax-paying American, I, for one, am proud to see that George W. Bush is defending our shores against one of the more important terrorist threats to the American people, Cuban cigars. It almost brings tears to my old red, white, and blue eyes to see our president stand like a rock, using the full powers and majesty of his office to protect you and me from the unnerving possibility of incoming Cuban tobacco. To prevent a cigar invasion, our brave leader has boldly issued a presidential directive to stop American citizens from traveling to the Cuban island, which, as we know, is such a formidable threat to our national security. Words are inadequate to express the depths of my feeling toward George W. for taking away your and my freedom to travel. It seems that tens of thousands of Americans have been taking people-to-people tours to Cuba to see for themselves the pluses and minuses of that country under Castro. Many have returned impressed, not only with the beauty of the island and the people, but with Cuba's health care and educational systems. However, this independent judgment doesn't fit with Bush's official doctrine of demonizing Castro and economically punishing the Cuban people. And it also infuriates Bush's wealthy supporters in Florida's Cuban exile community. So, as of January 1, we Americans are banned from seeing Cuba for ourselves. Bush's crackdown on free travel has been building for months as federal agents have harassed legitimate travelers to Cuba by, among other things, ransacking their luggage. But 45,000 baggage searches turned up only 600 violations, most of them for bringing cigars and rum back to the U.S. Harassment hasn't stopped intrepid Americans, so now Bush simply dictates that we can't go there. This is Jim Hightower saying, doesn't he have any real terrorists to fight? To battle Bush's ban, call Global Exchange, 415-575-5543.
She is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fun chila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fun chila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. It's Wednesday again, truth seekers. Tonight, Bush's immigration policy, or Hillary's Mahatma Gandhi joke, which is more important to the media, huh? Okay, which is more important to working Americans? How's that? We have some audio from Too Stupid to Be President, Simple Scotty McClellan, and Pat Buchanan for you tonight, so stick around. We aim to please. We guarantee you 3 hours of fun and frivolity every night, mixed in with acerbic and pointed political commentary, not to mention the humor, the jugglers, the lions, and the guy who feeds alligators with his baby in his arm, and Kathy, the pregnant producer. How's that, huh? Today, I happened to turn on television during CNN, during Wolf Blitzer's, one of Wolf Blitzer's programs. Christ, he has about five, doesn't he? But there was Wolf Blitzer, and he was interviewing Barton Gellman, writer for the Washington Post. Now, I had met Barton Gellman on a trip to Washington a couple of years ago, and I don't know him. I just met him, like Karen Tumulty at Time Magazine, a bunch of those people. You remember, Kathy. But underneath Barton Gellman's name, they had a font talking about what was being revealed in this interview between Wolf Blitzer and Barton Gellman, and the font was saying things like no weapons of mass destruction, Iraq's arsenal only on paper. And I thought, what the hell is this? So I turned up the sound, and sure enough, there's Wolf Blitzer interviewing this guy, who is a writer for the Washington Post. And I listened for a while and immediately went to the website, WashingtonPost.com. If you haven't read this, it's a long article. This is probably one of the longest articles in the Post in a long time, not on a Sunday. It's a 6,000-word article. Novels top out at about 100,000 words, unless they're going to be an epic. About a 6,000-word article about Iraq's arsenal was only on paper. Now, we know this. Of course we know this. We know the lies and the deceptions put out there by the Bush crime family. But as far as I know, this is the first time mainstream, entrenched, conservative media, like the Washington Post, has allowed a writer this kind of freedom. You have got to read this. There's too much here for me to quote from the article. But if you go to WashingtonPost.com, and the title, it's on the front page. Iraq's arsenal was only on paper. I don't want you to read it now. I want you to participate in this program. But I want you to go to WashingtonPost.com, find the article, download it, and read it tomorrow. It's astonishing. Now, again, you are not going to find anything you didn't already know about the non-existent vials of anthrax, the non-existent stocks of missiles and nuclear bombs and poisonous gas. Of course you knew that. What's going to be astonishing to you, I think it was astonishing to me, is that Iraq's unconventional weapons program on the day of the invasion by George W. Bush was pretty much in the same state it was in 1991. One scientist, a guy named Moher Sadek Sabah Tamimi, he's an engineering PhD, he had some drawings of a missile that someday he hoped to develop, that had a range of about 600 miles. Drawings! Please read the article. Not now, because I need you here now, but go to WashingtonPost.com. And unbelievable stuff. Now, it's very timely that Barton Gellman and the Washington Post published this now, because the State of the Union is, what, in a couple of weeks. This lying, corruptive mess of verbiage that Bush is going to shove out there onto the American public, 60% of whom are going to suck it up and buy it and believe it. But it was a year ago at the State of the Union where all these wild-eyed charges were made. And as a result, how many thousands of Iraqis are dead? Who knows? How many are injured? Who knows? How many Americans are dead? 500? How many are wounded? 6,000? Oh. Please read the article. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. Peter Werby sent me a copy, my former colleague on this network, who we never have been able to figure out why he was fired. But he still works for a radio station in Detroit on Sunday nights. Peter's been on radio in Detroit for 1,000 years. Peter sent an email to Eli Pariser, the MoveOn.org, one of the founders, if not the founder. And the reason Peter sent the email to Eli, a copy of which Peter sent to me, was because of what MoveOn.org has been going through in the past couple of days. As you know now, Ed Gillespie, the Republican National Committee, on one of the Sunday garbage shows on television, made a big deal about MoveOn.org's Bush in 30 seconds political ad contest. Two or three of the hundreds of ads submitted were objectionable, apparently. One of them morphing Bush's policies into Hitler's policies or vice versa, which makes perfect sense. But Move On, and I shared with you a letter last night that Move On sent out to their list. I'm on it. You're probably on it. Peter's certainly on it. And Move On said, look, you know, we had nothing to do with that. That's not our list. It's not our commercial. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And when I read MoveOn.org's objection to being labeled as an organization that would show Bush as Hitler or spend $7 million, which was one of the charges by Ed Gillespie, to put a political ad like that on television, Eli Pariser's response was, you know, how dare you? We have anything, none of this. Well, Peter Werby, being Peter Werby, sent Eli an email and he sent me a copy. Here's what he said. He signs it disappointed, Peter Werby. Here's what he said. Eli, every once in a while I think there is some hope for liberals. And then the weasel factor arises. Get some backbone and defend those people who supported you with creative, dynamic video work comparing Bush to Hitler. You're too willing to let the Republicans and corporate media crack the whip. Now, parenthetically, in the email Peter sent me, where he says, get some backbone and defend those people who supported you with creative dynamic video work comparing Bush to Hitler. He says, parenthetically, Mike Malloy and I do it all the time on our radio talk shows, and the audiences love it. So Peter Werby, spanked, Eli Paris here in the MoveOn.org organization today. And I don't know if Peter wanted me to share that with you, but he sent it to me. And anytime somebody sends something to me, right, Kathy, it's fair game. Dan in Long Island. Got another email here. Dan in Long Island sent this. When did I get this? Today? He says, hey, Mike, something I wanted to share with you that I heard this morning on the NASCAR channel on a satellite network. I know a lot of your listeners are from the South, so they may have heard this too. One of the NASCAR drivers, Brendan Gaughan, G-A-U-G-H-A-N, Brendan Gaughan, was being interviewed and mentioned how he had been invited to go over to Iraq and to go to a couple of places where civilians hadn't been allowed quite yet. The part of his interview that really outraged me was when he said, and I'm sure I'm not quoting it exactly, when he said that you shouldn't believe what you hear about what's going on over there in Iraq, and that the only place to get your real news was on Fox News. I was driving my car at the time I heard this, Dan writes, and I swear I almost crashed my car. I was so furious. I was driving to work at the time. And I swear I almost crashed my car. I was so furious. This is the exact stupidity and ignorance that is plaguing our country. I see and hear it in so many places. And a lot of the people who are of this opinion are not just NASCAR drivers, but people who I otherwise would respect. I'm really afraid for the upcoming election in November and for the future of this country in general. You said the other night, Mike, that the collective conscience of this country had seemed to not know about the Democrats and their accomplishments in the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and I think that's a huge danger. I know a few people who are in the younger than 30 range, and most of them consider themselves Republicans, but have no idea what that means. They also believe everything, every piece of BS that the mainstream news media feeds them. And then Dan closes by saying, I think every generation jokes at one time that when they look at the younger generation, they're afraid for the future. But I think in this case, there is a validity to that kind of fear. We're living in an environment of stupidity and of ignorance, and we need new ways to overcome that with knowledge and truth. Well, Dan, and that's Dan in Long Island. Dan, you know, absolutely. Absolutely. NASCAR drive. So if you're a NASCAR fan, for God's sake, don't send me an email say I'm a real son of a bitch for attacking NASCAR drivers. Because, you know, I couldn't care less about NASCAR drivers or the sport. I don't think it's a sport. I think it's stupid. Let's get in our cars and go round and round and round and round. I have no use for it. Of course, I don't have any use for golf. I don't have any use for professional football. Hockey, to me, is a joke. What do I like? I like baseball. Yeah. Now, building from Dan in Long Island's email about stupidity and asininity, of course you folks are aware, are you not, that only 28% of Americans believe in the theory of evolution, or, let me take out the word theory, believe in evolution, okay, believe in natural selection, okay, believe that the planet is older than 6,000 years. Are you aware that only 28% of Americans believe this? Isn't it shocking? Shocking! If they don't believe evolution, it means they don't believe biochemistry or genetics or ecology or paleontology or anatomy or physics, astronomy, geology, cosmology, history, or archaeology. But I've got a story right after this break. That's going to make your sphincter muscles all tighten up at the same time. Stick around.
Sell your kids into slavery if it was worth a dime. You'd bulldoze your own backyard and you'd come for mine. You're a nation of sheep led by a handful of pigs. Sheep, and by a handful of hogs.
am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Mike Mullet Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops.
Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man.
He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Mullet Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Mullet. Where else?
24 past the hour. Okay, so Dan in Long Island is concerned about, you know, the ignorance in this country. Peter Werby, my good friend, former colleague on this network, is upset at Eli Pariser for what Peter says is a weasel factor. And you and I are upset, Truth Seeker, because of most of what's going on in this country. How about this? Talk about stupidity. Talk about stupidity. What am I trying to say? Stupidity. I got these new eye teeth, and I can't see what I'm saying. In Phoenix, at the Grand, in Arizona, at the Grand Canyon, there are there's a book, a hardback book called Grand Canyon, A Different View, and you can buy it at the park's bookstore. Now, it's got photographs of the Grand Canyon and the Colorado River. I've not seen the book, but according to CNN, it's a gorgeous book, very, very pretty book, Grand Canyon, A Different View. But the book's claim is that the Grand Canyon was formed as a result of the Great Flood of Genesis and is therefore only a few thousand years old. It's not several million years old. Oh, no, 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 no. It's only a few thousand years old, and it's for sale. At a public, at a government, that's a government thing, isn't it? Isn't that a national park? Isn't that public? So there it is. There it is. The book is by a former Colorado River guide, some freak named Tom Vail. It includes a collection of essays by fellow creationists. Those are these medieval weirdos. Oh, God, I hate these people. Who favor this creationist Bible view of the earth's formation. Don't you people understand that when that was written, it was written for uneducated? Oh, never mind. Oh, my God. But anyway, the book, Grand Canyon, A Different View, has all these photographs and essays by a whole clutch of these, to me, the weirdest people on the face of the earth. Are creationists, and I don't care if they're Judeo-Christian or if they're Hindu. You know, the stuff about Vishnu is asleep, and as soon as Vishnu wakes up, we all die, you know, and we're all part of Vishnu's dream. Oh, Jesus, will you people back off? All of you! But anyway, the Christian ones are the ones that really get me, really, really get under my skin. Because they deny every one of the hard sciences when they deny evolution. I'll just use the term evolution rather than... Don't send me any emails, okay, please, saying, well, it's not really evolution, Mike, it's natural selection. Just leave it be, okay? Now, the book includes, with the photographs, these essays by fellow creationists. And the guy who put it together... Tom Vail and his wife are the founders of something called Canyon Ministries. Oh, jeez. Canyon Ministries organizes Christian whitewater rafting trips through the canyon. What does that mean? Does that mean if you're a Jew, you can't go along? Does that mean if you're a Muslim or a Hindu or an atheist or an agnostic? I guess it does. Wait a second. This is a national park. Oh, I get it. He's not a national park employee anymore. Well, he never was. He was a Colorado River guide. So he can take a Satanist down the river if he wants to. But why is the National Park Service selling his asinine book? That's kind of the question, right? But oh, jeez. All right. I have a little more on the story, but Kathy's playing the music. It means a break. Ah, God, I hate this. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Footsteps echo down the hall.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Here's a good reason to support renewable energy. It could help drive gas prices down. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Natural gas prices have risen sharply over the past year, and experts say the trend is likely to continue as demand for the fuel grows. Alan Nogi directs an energy program for the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Right now, we're seeing a major transition in this country where almost all new electricity generation has been natural gas generation, and it's proposed to even increase further in the next several years. This has created enormous pressure on natural gas prices, which have more than doubled this last year from historical levels. Almost all analysts are now projecting that gas prices will remain high for the foreseeable future.
Nogi says it's time to look at renewable energy as a way to stabilize markets. He says solar, wind, geothermal, and other alternatives to fossil fuels could help keep prices in check.
By developing renewable energy, we reduce the demand for gas for electricity, we create competition for gas suppliers, and that actually more than offsets the slightly higher cost of developing the renewable electricity technologies, both in our studies and in studies by the Bush administration's Energy Information Administration.
Nogi says the best way to boost renewable energy into the mainstream is to require utilities to produce some of their electricity from renewable sources. 13 states have passed these measures, and Nogi says they'll eventually help reduce the demand for and the price of natural gas. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, it's not very difficult to get confused. Huh? God. Anyway, so back to this former Colorado River guide, Tom Vail, and his lovely wife, and a clutch of these brain-dead creationists have put together a book called Grand Canyon, A Different View. And they present the idea that the Grand Canyon was formed by the flood mentioned in Genesis. Yeah, the Noah's flood. And therefore, the Grand Canyon couldn't be more than 6,000 years old. All right, now, this is a religio-political agenda, no question. What the hell is it doing in a National Park Service bookstore, right? Now, the National Park Service is terrified. They don't know what to do. Even though The director of a nonprofit group of federal and state resource workers, Jeff Ruck, who's director of Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, he says the overall concern is that the top managers of the Park Service are implementing a conservative agenda that is at odds with their duties as custodians of the nation's heritage. Jeff, not to mention the fact that it's lies. It's garbage. It's mythology. It is as valid as any Greek or Roman or Hindu or Hawaiian or Native American mythology. Jeff Ruck said, this is a book that by its cover shouts out, "This is a biblical interpretation of how the Grand Canyon came into being only a few thousand years ago. Therefore, it is in essence a religious book. And being placed for sale in a National Park Service bookstore means, hey, you're way ahead of me," that the National Park Service apparently endorses it. And they're terrified. They don't know what to do. Grand Canyon officials left the book on the shelves but referred it to the National Park Service headquarters for review. They don't know what to do. And officials of the National Park Service are preparing to draft a letter telling Grand Canyon administrators the book makes claims that fall outside, are you ready for this, accepted science, which, are you ready for this, maintains the canyon is millions of years old. A spokesman for the National Park Service says, since accepted science believes that the canyon is millions of years old, we won't restock the book once it's been sold out. Oh, my God. I never thought the time would come when I would loathe fundamentalist Christians. I mean, just loathe them from the bottom of my smelly socks. I swear to God, I've always considered myself to be a tolerant individual. Jew, Catholic, Hindu, Buddhist, Zoroastrian, whatever you are, atheist, agnostic, worshiper of tin cans, I don't care, never cared. Have at it. Believe what you want, as John Lennon said, whatever gets you through the night, okay. These people have turned me into, these fundamentalist Christians have turned me into a screaming, frothing, hate-filled anti-Christian. Not real Christians. No, don't. You folks who are true followers of Christ, don't send me an email. Because I understand. I do understand that these thugs and weasels and weenies are not real Christians. These are the kinds of people that Jesus would have put a sword through. But they're the ones that have control of the agenda in this country. By the way, the Park Service is also under fire for agreeing to change a video on the Lincoln Memorial following complaints by conservatives that the video featured mostly liberal causes. One of these right-wing neo-fascist conservative lobbying groups, Lou Sheldon's the Traditional Values Coalition, oh God, Traditional Values, objected to footage displaying gay rights and abortion rights demonstrations at the monument. Reverend Lou said, "This has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with political correctness. We ask for the removal of the bias and for them to bring it into balance." But you see, altering the video could make it historically inaccurate because the Lincoln Memorial has been the site of numerous civil rights demonstrations for gay rights, for abortion rights, for civil rights, for human rights. But these Christian freaks, they want the video changed. "We want it thrown down the memory hole. Jesus would not have allowed this to happen." So make it historically inaccurate. Now, the Park Service is planning to add footage to this video of some conservative-leaning events, but only those that happened at or around the Lincoln Memorial. Does this make sense? The video is about the Lincoln Memorial and how it attracts human rights demonstrations, whether it's gay rights, abortion rights, civil rights, human rights, whatever it is. So the Traditional Values Coalition and this fascist pig Lou Sheldon, oh, I hate these people. They come by, "Well, we don't think you ought to have that in there. Get it out." So the National Park Service, being totally intimidated, how are they going to respond? Well, they may take it out, but what they're going to do is add some of the stuff that conservatives have pranced around the monument about. And what would that be? Well, the president's millennium celebration. That would have been that would have been Clinton, right? Yeah. A parade at the end of Desert Storm. And, are you sitting down? A promise keepers gathering. You know, it was a time in my life when I believed like, what's his name?
Can't we all just get along?
I believed that for a long time. Can't we all just get along? Was it Rodney King? Yeah, it was Rodney King.
Can't we all just get along?
And I've come to realize that the answer to that is a whiplash resounding no. Of course not. And the reason we can't is because of these Republicans, these conservatives, these fundamentalist Christians. These are real sowers of dissension and contempt and rage and lies and What? Zachary in San Diego, you have this book?
No. I just found it on another book website.
Oh.
I was just reading the description.
Yeah, what does it say?
And let me read it. Oh, yeah, first of all, where do they get off defending national parks with their environmental records, these conservatives?
Yeah, I know. Don't even go there. Remember, the Grand Canyon's only 6,000 years old, and Jesus
yeah.
is going to come back and destroy it anyway so we can all be raptured.
Of course.
So don't worry about it.
Well, let me just read the description that this
okay.
website gives it. Yeah, this is Amazon, actually. This gift book is also a creationist delight. Filled with stunning photos of the Grand Canyon from the rim to the waterfalls and river in the bottom, this beautiful book describes the canyon in terms of only a few thousand years old. Instead of the evolutionary biased millions of years, includes essays from 20 top creationists such as Ken Ham and Henry Morris. But then, of course, I see the three ratings from, buyers at Amazon.com. All three of them are... 1 star out of 5.
Yeah, why even 1 star? Why not just have a huge bonfire and burn it? See, I've turned into a book burner. Listen to me.
I know.
I'm like Fahrenheit 451. I'm like one of Ray Bradbury's firemen now. Get the books, put them in a big heap, burn them. Hey, have you been taught evolution in your high school, Zach?
In my biology class, I think we're going to get to it. But I know there is one student there who is just waiting for... to get evolution to be taught because he's just waiting to argue against it. He thinks that all that sedimentary carbon on top of the on top of stones and,
right.
and mountains it came from floods.
Yeah.
And actually, I did get taught in a philosophy class, and I'm glad that most people didn't question it because
Well, Zach, I
In one of these classes, one of my teachers was an excellent teacher. He outlined that you can't argue science with religion. There's two types of knowledge. There's metaphysical knowledge, religion. It's not based on induction and deduction. It's not based on ration, like rational knowledge.
Right.
So people need to be taught this, that you can't argue creationism with evolution. You can argue against evolution, but you're going to have to find another scientific theory that explains our existence.
You better be careful, or that school teacher better be careful. I'm sure that he'll be organized against in San Diego and removed.
He's in there. He's about like 70. I don't know. He wouldn't care anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Zachary, thanks for checking in.
All right. How much longer do you got?
Me?
For the on the show.
Well, we know for sure after February 27th, there'll be a huge sucking sound as the air rushes into the vacuum caused by our rapid departure. February 27th is the furthest out date that we're going to go. It could be any time between now and February 27th, but we'll try to give you some advance notice.
All right, and nothing planned after that?
I've got an ad in Talkers Magazine. I've got word out on the grapevine. Hire me.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I hope that new liberal radio network, Central Air, I think.
Yeah.
Every time I hear them, I see articles written
right.
by the representatives on the internet. They always mention you and
we'll see.
Other people. I don't know.
So far, they've offered nothing, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, right. Zach.
All right, thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. I'm so proud of Zach. Such a bright young man. Wouldn't you like to have a kid like that, huh? He's sitting there talking about inductive and deductive reasoning and rational thought. I couldn't get that straight until my second or third year of college. And no, I didn't graduate. Good for you, Zach. All right, what else we got here? We're going to get to the immigration thing coming up here. First, the started today in at a resort in Phoenix. A dozen or more congressional Republicans are clustering out there to hear the legislative wish list of Western coal, power, and mining companies. And the companies are also going to raise money for these people. Now, see, I wasn't invited, neither were you, because we're just American citizens. But it's one more step on what Mussolini said, don't call it fascism, call it corporatism, because that's what it is. All right, Benito, we'll call it corporatism. But here we are. It's a four-day conference, began today, a $1,500 per person round of golf and private dinner. That's what the attendees have to pay. Not the congressional, not all these Republicans are showing up. The Republicans are going free. The members of, the Republican members of Congress are going free. But the other people have to pay all kinds of money. There's a $1,500 golf thing today, and then later on there's a $4,000 thing, and everybody kicks in the money, and then when the gig is over, they divide up the money and give it to these Republican thugs. Invited participants, as well as these industries, mining and energy and timber and coal and all, along with those people, invited are the Undersecretary of the Interior, Stephen Griles, the Environmental Protection Agency Assistant Administrator, Jeffrey Homestead, White House Council on Environmental Quality Chairman, James Connoten, and Assistant Secretary of Energy, Michael Smith. All of these people are showing up, plus members of Congress, Senator Pete Domenici, you people, you people in New Mexico, why do you keep him in office? Pete Domenici will be there. Representatives Rob Bishop and Chris Cannon of Utah, Jim Colby of Arizona, Denny Rayberg of Montana, Daryl Issa of California. It goes on and on. Why are they there? Why are they there? You know why they're there. They are there to listen to the energy industry and the coal industry and the timber industry and the mining industry, the people who are destroying and raping and looting this country. They're there to listen to these corporate executives tell them what sort of laws the corporate executives want in the next session of Congress. And they're there to get the money. This is where we live now. This is where we live. This is, were you invited? You breathe just like I do. You expect clean water? You want to go to a national park someplace and not get a book that says the Grand Canyon 6,000 years old? But you weren't invited. The excuse me. The event, several of the events have been organized by a Denver-based lobbyist named Jim Sims, who was the, get this, director of communications for Dick Cheney's White House Energy Task Force 3 years ago. Communications? What the hell was communicated? It's all secret. Money raised by all these contributions that are required to the participants, the corporate participants, will be distributed by the Western Republican Majority Committee to Republican campaign organizations, according to the invitation. Sims, by the way, in addition to being a sponsor, is executive director of the Western Business Roundtable. He says, fundraisers are held every day in this country. You know, it's a cheap shot to say bad things about us. I'll tell you what, you know those clean air people? They're part of an integrated and very sophisticated network of extremists led by the Sierra Club and a couple of others whose all but announced mission this year is the very partisan mission of unseating President Bush. How dare you people show up out here? Get out of here. Get out of here.
What people need to hear loud and clear is that we're running out of energy in America. I don't care about spots on my apples. Leave me the birds and the bees. Please, don't it all seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. The day paradise put up a fucking line. And now they pay paradise to put up a fucking line. Why not?
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to That Comic Book Show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
revolving around a golden sun. We are a billion children rolled into one. So when I hear about the hole in the sky, salt water wells in my eyes.
We need an energy bill that encourages consumption.
We climb the highest mountain.
We need an energy bill that encourages consumption.
All right. Rick is calling from Seattle. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Good, good. I had sent an email over to you earlier today, in fact, and it's somewhat apropos to what you've just been speaking about, the evolution thing.
Uh-huh.
And this is from St. Maximus the Confessor, a 7th century Greek theologian.
Okay.
And he said, that mind is perfect which, through true faith, in supreme ignorance, supremely knows the supremely unknowable.
Oh, I love that. That's very Zen. I mean, that guy must have, yeah, very Rumsfeld, too. But that guy must have been reading something, if it was possible to read in the 600s, something written by the Buddha himself. Doesn't that sound very Zen, very Buddhist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I read that. I read that when you sent it to me. Thank you. I wasn't sure exactly what you were saying. Now I get it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. It gives a real insight to the minds of believers.
Do it again. Do it again. Say it again.
Okay. That mind is perfect, which, through true faith, in supreme ignorance, supremely knows the supremely unknowable.
Oh God! Sounds like something Gandalf would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well,
right.
I look, you know, here's my feeling. Somebody wants to believe, excuse me, in praying to straight back chairs and expecting a result. Fine, have at it. You know, I don't have any problem with anybody. You know, whatever your one's religious belief is, go for it. Like I said, like John Lennon said, whatever gets you through the night. It's just that when we are told that this is what we are going to find in our public squares, this is what we are going to find on our public parks, this is what we're going to find in our public no. That's where I say no. And again, these fundamental Christians have turned me into a hate-filled demon. Not really, but they make me inclined towards that. I just hate that kind of ignorance. Oh, well.
Well, my feeling is that all these faiths and everything else, since they exist only in the mind of the beholder,
yeah,
that they should stay there. When they start sharing them with other people, then, you know, they're kind of crossing a line there as far as I'm concerned.
Unless it's a mutually agreed to discussion and everybody can sit back and have a bourbon and Coke and talk about God. Hey, listen, thanks, Rick. I appreciate you checking. I hope you call again, pal.
Okay, and one other thing very quickly.
Very quickly.
Something on Smedley Butler.
Yes.
Are you familiar with him?
Yes, I am, and I got it.
Oh. Okay, great.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The Bush administration asked the Supreme Court to let it keep its argument secret in a case involving an immigrant's challenge of his treatment after the September 11th attacks. Mohammed Kamel Behoul wants the High Court to consider whether the government acted improperly by secretly jailing him after the attacks and keeping his court fight private. He is supported by more than 20 journalism organizations and media companies. Lucie Dalgish, executive director of the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, said she was disappointed by the government's request. It just emphasizes our point that we're living in frightening times. More countries have joined the protest against American proposals to place armed guards on U.S.-bound flights. Portugal is the latest nation to voice concern, as its civil aviation authority said that putting loaded guns aboard an aircraft could endanger it. In Britain, the pilots' union said that if the security risk to a flight is great enough to warrant an armed guard, the plane should not fly at all. Denmark and Sweden have also rejected demands for armed guards and aircraft. While the U.S. has introduced new checks at home, its efforts to tighten security on incoming flights have met with strong opposition. Brazil has begun fingerprinting and photographing U.S. citizens flying into its airports, apparently in retaliation for new security measures at U.S. airports. A sergeant in Denmark's military force in Iraq issued a stinging criticism of his superiors Tuesday, accusing them of keeping the country's 500-strong contingent cooped up on their base instead of sending them out on potentially dangerous missions. "We're using taxpayers' money to relax at Camp Eden," Caleb Noltensmeyer, 52, said in the latest issue of CS Bladet, an international newsletter for Denmark's largest defense employee union, CS. Noltensmeyer, who spent 30 years in the army, is part of a scouting squadron stationed at Camp Eden near Kurna, in the region of the southern city of Basra, which is under British command. "We stand watch a bit in the watchtowers, do the dishes after the meals, wash the floor of the internet cafe and of the workout tent, and we spend a lot of time housekeeping and on guard duty," he said. More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A wild boar searching for food broke into a Berlin apartment, hospitalizing a man by biting him in the leg before fleeing back into the woods, police said Tuesday. The wild boar broke into the living room through a terrace door and hid under a table, a police spokesman said. When the 54-year-old resident tried to shoo the boar out the back door, it went wild. The injured man was treated in the hospital for his leg wound and released on the same day. Police said the animal had not been captured. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
As a patriotic, tax-paying American, I, for one, am proud to see that George W. Bush is defending our shores against one of the more important terrorist threats to the American people, Cuban cigars. It almost brings tears to my old red, white, and blue eyes to see our president stand like a rock, using the full powers and majesty of his office to protect you and me from the unnerving possibility of incoming Cuban tobacco. To prevent a cigar invasion, our brave leader has boldly issued a presidential directive to stop American citizens from traveling to the Cuban island, which, as we know, is such a formidable threat to our national security. Words are inadequate to express the depths of my feeling toward George W. for taking away your and my freedom to travel. It seems that tens of thousands of Americans have been taking people-to-people tours to Cuba to see for themselves the pluses and minuses of that country under Castro. Many have returned impressed, not only with the beauty of the island and the people, but with Cuba's health care and educational systems. However, this independent judgment doesn't fit with Bush's official doctrine of demonizing Castro and economically punishing the Cuban people. And it also infuriates Bush's wealthy supporters in Florida's Cuban exile community. So, as of January 1, we Americans are banned from seeing Cuba for ourselves. Bush's crackdown on free travel has been building for months as federal agents have harassed legitimate travelers to Cuba by, among other things, ransacking their luggage. But 45,000 baggage searches turned up only 600 violations, most of them for bringing cigars and rum back to the U.S. Harassment hasn't stopped intrepid Americans, so now Bush simply dictates that we can't go there. This is Jim Hightower saying, doesn't he have any real terrorists to fight? To battle Bush's ban, call Global Exchange, 415-575-5543.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Hey, welcome back, Truth Seekers. I don't know what happened to the music. Seven and a half past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. What do I want to do here? We've got audio of Bush and Simple Scotty, McClellan, and Pat Buchanan for you a bit later in the program, so stick around. And Bush and his approach to illegal immigrants, that's still coming up. We've got some mad cow disease stuff. Oh, just a whole bunch of nonsense. Who is this online for? This is Smeedle from Middle Earth. Smeedle?
I am.
Are you talking or coughing?
We is running for the president of the United States.
You're running for president?
Yes, we is announcing our candidacy.
You're announcing your candidacy.
Yes, we want steel for office, my precious. It's ours, and we want it.
I hate to ask this, but can you say that again?
We is running for the presidency of the United States. We want the Oval Office. It's ours, precious, and we want it.
You want it? You want the office of the...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's ours, precious.
It is precious. I just saw you in a movie, I think.
Yes. Return of the King.
Yeah, yeah. You're a very interesting character.
Can run for governor. Yeah. Sneak will be president.
Yes, I certainly do agree. Who's going to be your running mate?
We like Kucinich. No, we don't. We like Dean.
You like Dean?
We like Kucinich. No, we like Dean.
Well, which is it? I'm sorry, Smeagol. Are you saying we likes Kucinich or we likes Dean?
Yes, good Smeagol likes Kucinich. No, we likes Dean.
Oh, I see. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot. You have a little personality glitch there where half of you argues with the other half, right?
It's a problem.
It is. Yeah, I'm sure it is a problem.
But we hate Bush.
Yeah. You hate Bush? Both of you hates Bush, huh?
Yes. On that we agree.
Yes, well, you certainly do. oh, my God. Spiegel, I'm just absolutely overwhelmed that you've called this program.
The Oval Office is mine.
Yeah, it is. Oh, I'm not arguing with you. The Oval Office is yours.
Good master, vote for Spiegel.
yes.
We'll be nice to you if you be nice to us.
We will be. I will be nice to you. Let me.
Platform.
Yeah. Are you going to use the one ring to defeat Bush?
The one ring is the Oval Office, and it is mine, my own, my precious.
It's in the Oval Office.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh huh.
George Bush has it, but he's tricksy.
Yeah.
False.
Well, can I ask you? I don't want to get too complicated here, but what's your platform?
Nice to them if they be nice to us.
Oh, well, okay. That's in other words, it's kind of like the golden rule.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We be nice to them if they be nice to us.
Yes, that is my platform.
That makes great sense. It probably would have worked in Iraq, right?
Yes.
Yes, it would have.
Nasty, stupid, false, tricksy Bush make war.
Yes, bad man. Bad man. Do you have access to the orcs? I mean, what if the election is stolen from you the way it was stolen from Al Gore? What about the orcs? Do you or the mountain trolls?
Not the orcs.
You what?
She will help.
Yeah, you.
She will help.
Are you the big spider?
Yes. We go up the stairs.
Yeah.
With Bush.
How about Condi Rice's house? listen, are you counting on getting the Hobbit vote? Yeah?
No problem.
Well, you had a problem in this last movie. There were a couple of moments there when I thought you
no.
were...
Master is my friend.
Yeah, I know, but you gave the impression you were going to do them both in, Samwise and Frodo.
That was the ring.
That was what?
That was the ring.
Oh, that was the ring talking.
Precious made me do it.
I see.
myself a single-payer health plan.
Say it again?
I'm also for a single-payer health plan. Did you see my teeth?
Your teeth?
Yes.
Well, they look a lot better than mine.
Smeagol needs dentist.
Yeah, you do need a dentist. You really do. But I'll tell you what: if Kucinich doesn't make it,
Kucinich's a hobbit.
He is a hobbit. Yeah. Well, if Kucinich,
good hobbit.
If Kucinich doesn't get the nomination, you've sure as hell got my vote, Smeagol.
We don't. I have some advice for you and your listeners.
You have some advice for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't follow the lights.
Do what?
Don't follow the light.
Don't follow the light?
Yes.
Okay. I'll follow the dark? Smeagol, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Both of you.
Yes. We run for president. Vote for Smeagol. I'm...
We'll do it. We'll do it. Thank you. Thank you, Smeagol. Okay. That was really the Gollum. That was Smeagol.
That was amazing.
I had no idea that... Yeah, that Sirius satellite radio went all the way to Middle Earth.
Whew. Well, thanks, Smeagol. Well, guess what? Carl from Chicago South Side has to follow that. Good luck, Carl. Go ahead. Take your best shot.
We love the precious. We love it. We watch the president. We watch the Oval Office.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Carl?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my grandson, Smeagol, for Christmas, but they got me to take him back and get a He-Man.
Yeah, I would think. You don't buy a child the Smeagol unless you...
It was a talking Smeagol, though, Mike.
Oh, my God. Not unless you want the kid to develop personality disorder and nightmares. Oh, man.
Anyway, I don't know if you heard it, but the New Republic is endorsing Lieberman.
The New Republic?
Yeah.
Endorsing Lieberman?
Yeah.
Well, that I'm not surprised.
They said on principle.
On principle? They're on principle. Oh, my God. Okay, well, see, that's one of the reasons I let my subscription to New Republic drop. I just couldn't take it anymore. Those people just pissed me off so badly, you know.
Well, anyway, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, try, because my brain is just mush after Smeagol. I mean, I can't even...
This morning, I called Bremer.
Yeah?
And talking about the 500 people, detainees, Iraqi detainees that...
They're going to release?
Yeah, uh-huh. But before that now... Well, that was one of the things that I was kind of curious about. They never wanted to mention, well, what they had been detained for. They just releasing them and making them swear, I guess, that they're going to be good little guys.
Good little Iraqis, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they had this Iraq guy on prior to him, just before him, and they, I think that's when he talked about the new rewards that they're going to be posting.
Yeah.
For these guys and everything. And it was worded kind of funny because it was the money was for like information about these people, but then after stating what the reward was, they also stated, and this was the wording part on this was kind of coded, was that well, or information about the deaths of these individuals,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's a nice way of twisting well. Wanted dead or alive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Oh, God. Oh,
and then later today, I know you're going to get to it later, but I had to catch it on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And George Bush opens up talking about the 25-year-old Mexican who's been serving in the
in the military,
wounded in Iraq.
Right, whose mama still lives in some little crappy village down in central... Yeah, I know.
How proud he was when he was visiting this guy, I guess recovering from his wounds,
yeah,
to see him receive his citizenship.
Now, wait till that Mexican soldier comes back here and converts to Islam. and starts walking around, maybe becomes a black Muslim or something, and starts quoting Minister Farrakhan. I wonder if Bush is still going to say, yeah, you know, I like that guy. Yeah. Oh, man.
And so, but before that, I had caught a little bit of Fox.
Yeah, I'm here.
Fox in the morning. And, of course, they were they had their little logic caps on, and they had rationalized this whole deal about the immigration thing.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, that's another little code thing. Well, as long as they can prove that they got a job that no one else wants. And I'm like, well, I guess this kind of like lets the employees off the hook for breaking the law, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Sure it does. Sure it does. Oh, there's a lot to this, and I'm going to get to it right after this next break.
Yeah. Well, I thought, like I said, I didn't know if you heard about the New Republic, but
I had
the other thing on this reward thing. That definitely sounded like we suggesting to him. Well, just go ahead and kill him, and we'll pay you.
I hear that. I hear that it does. Thank you, Carl.
All right, Mike.
All right, sir.
Welcome,
and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Yeah. Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
Best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past hour. I'm still trying to recover from Smeagol. Kathy won't tell me who did that. That is phenomenal. I think it was the actor. I think it was who played that part in the movie? I'm drawing a blank, too, but it had to have been the actor. That was so incredible. Bush and this new temporary worker program, the immigration policy, did y'all check out any of this today? Did you see? Kathy discovered something, too, in pulling some of these sound bites. She found something interesting. She went to the White House website where the transcript is all printed out, and she noticed that the mistake... A mistake that Bush... You explain it. Open up your mic. Explain this. I want people to hear this.
I read the transcript, and there were a couple of misspeaks, a couple of Bushisms that apparently he made during the speech, but when I was listening to the audio online, I couldn't find them, and I thought, oh, they must have cleaned up the audio before they posted it to the Internet on the White House website.
Right.
Let me go back to my original tape.
Yeah, you had taped it this morning.
Where I taped it off C-SPAN.
Right.
Yeah, this afternoon.
And when you were taping it this afternoon, up in the upper right-hand corner, it said live.
It said live. It said live on every channel. And when I went to the tape and I played the part that I wanted to get, because I thought, well, I'm going to capture the original quote where he made the verbal mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And they had cleaned it up, too. And you could tell. You could tell where it was edited.
There was a little.
There was
in
a
the
little
tape.
Glitch. There was a little bit. The background. There was a movement in a tassel that you could tell was out of sync.
So once again, the White House put something out, or the networks put something out that said live.
It wasn't.
And it was
live.
Not live.
I don't see how it could have been. I mean, I'm not saying I'm 100% right, and I never make a mistake, but it was edited. I think the transcript was correct. I think whoever did the transcript from what
right.
From what he was saying. They took it down exactly, and then they cleaned it up later.
Yeah, well, there you go. You want to know how you can tell all of this is just pure, unadulterated cow pie BS, all this immigration stuff, designed to appeal only to these large Latino populations in Texas and California, as well as the Latinos scattered throughout the rest of the country? Well, then consider this. Ashcroft and Ridge, while these two fight to lock down the borders of the United States, you know, terrorism, you know, Bush is now suggesting throwing those same borders wide open, while we're now fingerprinting and photographing international travelers who may only be passing through the United States. That's how disgusting and paranoid it's gotten in this country. Bush says we need a more humane way of treating illegal immigrants who may be hiding in our cities and rural areas and doing God knows what kind of plans for death and destruction, right? And so while Ashcroft and Ridge and the Republicans are shrieking, well, whose idea was this? It was Karl Rove's idea. Karl Rove is a panderer of the highest order. He's also what constitutes a political genius. He's a political demon. He's from hell. But in America 2004, as venal and vile and filthy as you can be in politics, your status as a political genius develops from that. Now, Bush knows, and Rove knows, that Bush's pals in Congress, the Republicans who are willing to play along with the cynicism, will never, never pass the legislation necessary to implement what Bush suggested today. So, once again, too stupid to be president gets the free pass. The press will chew on and report his humane approach to illegal immigrants. And then his operatives in Congress quietly gut or destroy any attempt to pass a legislation, and once again we see another cynical approach to the divisive politics of George W. Bush. These people have no shame. They are without ethics. They're without morals. They make me ashamed to live in a country in which 60% of the adult population supports this criminal administration. Take it away and help her answer.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Here's a good reason to support renewable energy. It could help drive gas prices down. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Natural gas prices have risen sharply over the past year, and experts say the trend is likely to continue as demand for the fuel grows. Alan Nogi directs an energy program for the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Right now, we're seeing a major transition in this country where almost all new electricity generation has been natural gas generation, and it's proposed to even increase further in the next several years. This has created enormous pressure on natural gas prices, which have more than doubled this last year from historical levels. Almost all analysts are now projecting that gas prices will remain high for the foreseeable future.
Nogi says it's time to look at renewable energy as a way to stabilize markets. He says solar, wind, geothermal, and other alternatives to fossil fuels could help keep prices in check.
By developing renewable energy, we reduce the demand for gas for electricity, we create competition for gas suppliers, and that actually more than offsets the slightly higher cost of developing the renewable electricity technologies, both in our studies and in studies by the Bush administration's Energy Information Administration.
Nogi says the best way to boost renewable energy into the mainstream is to require utilities to produce some of their electricity from renewable sources. 13 states have passed these measures, and Nogi says they'll eventually help reduce the demand for and the price of natural gas. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Apply the immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
Yeah. So here goes Georgie Porgy today, pudding and pie, talking about, it's time to take a more humane approach. What about the American economy and the American dream and yada, yada, yada. Barry, our Ypsilanti, Michigan bureau chief, sent this to me. And then I want you to hear some of this in Bush's own words. Barry writes, Mike, I spent the better part of the day listening to coverage about Bush's immigration reform initiative. Nobody in the liberal media has spent any time covering this angle, but to me, his announcement was a confession. The governor said we need this reform partly because there are millions of jobs in the United States that Americans won't work. It's not so much that we won't work them, it's that we can't work them because they don't pay enough to afford even the minimum essentials of life. So, what Bush admitted, Barry writes, was that our economy and our nation supports and relies on millions of jobs in America that are so poorly compensated they will keep the person holding that job in crushing, abject poverty. Jobs like farm workers and meat packers, people that have direct contact with the food we all eat. Now, instead of pushing for an increase in the minimum wage, instead of working to ensure that all full-time employees in America can afford to survive, Bush is legalizing a slave workforce and securing an abundant supply of cheap, exploitable labor for corporate America. He's going to make sure that his elitist friends his demographic no longer have to hide their illegal housekeepers. He's going to make sure that Walmart will never have to worry about a raid to arrest their night janitors. And ultimately, he's going to make it easier for ethical business owners to access legal, cheap labor, removing any incentive they had to raise wages. Those of us who watched our jobs go to Mexico will now have to stand in line for the few jobs still here with people who think $5.35 an hour is a dream come true. The race, Barry writes, to the bottom continues. Well, Barry, you and I were on the same page today because in my notes I wrote down paid slavery, can't even read my own handwriting here, driving wages lower, bring lower income workers here. It's incredible how much the Bush crime family hates the American worker. It's amazing to me how many of that 60% of Americans that support this bastard are the very people whom Bush steps on, crushes, urinates all over, deprives them of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And yet they back him. What the hell? I wish somebody explained that to me, but I'm tired of thinking about it. Paid slavery. By the way, these workers, they will have no right to form unions. They will have no right to collective bargaining. They will have, in other words, no rights at all. They will come to this country. They will shut up. They will go to work for whatever the wage masters will pay them. Now, what happens to you and me, those of us who will be looking for work? That's right. That's right. Not only does globalization export decent jobs from this country and NAFTA and this free trade of the Americas agreement, all of this stuff, not only do the jobs leave here and go to Mexico and then leave Mexico and go to China, but now they're going to import workers who will work for practically nothing. They hate America. Not the Mexicans, not the immigrants, not the Central Americans, not the people who are desperate for a decent job. You got to have some kind of empathy or sympathy or pity or something for these folks, right? Huh? Is that arrogant? Is that too white of me to say? Is that too white American of me to say that? What about our people? What about our whites and blacks and Latinos and Middle Europeans and Asians, people who are here legally, people who are here striving, trying to make a living? What about us? What about us? So Bush is asking for the creation of a guest worker program that will open the borders to people seeking low-skilled, low-wage jobs. And the plan also includes provisions that will let illegal workers who are already here apply for legal status. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this back in 1986? According to Knight Ridder newspapers, the White House plan was drafted, it says, with help from Karl Rove. Oh, Jesus. This will not pass. There will be no bill that will get its way through Congress, through the House and the Senate, putting into a fact what George Bush presents as fiction. This is purely a political move on this rat bastard's part. The rat bastard being Karl Rove. The puppet being George Bush. Karl Rove, like Lee Atwater, is a malevolent, malignant political genius. On Karl Rove's deathbed, when he is dying of a brain tumor, like Lee Atwater, passed from this mortal coil, Karl Rove also is going to ask for forgiveness of the American people. Are you going to give it to him? I'll tell him, hey, listen, have a nice time in hell. Goodbye. Good riddance. It is estimated that between 8 and 12 million foreigners are in this country illegally. And what do we do about that? I don't know. I'm not Pat Buchanan, that's for sure. But, all right, let's listen to Bush. Let's hear what Bush had to say. Why he wants to legalize illegals. so they can realize the American dream of picking lettuce legally for what? $10 a day? American farm workers? You know, Cesar Chavez tried and tried. The American farm workers, a huelga. Remember that strike? Remember all that stuff from the 70s and the 60s and the 80s trying to save the lives of America's farm workers? Here we are again. Here's George Bush.
The system is not working. Our nation needs an immigration system that serves the American economy and reflects the American dream.
Well, you don't have that plan, buddy.
Reform must begin by confronting a basic fact of life and economics. Some of the jobs being generated in America's growing economy are jobs American citizens are not filling.
Yeah, you're right.
Yet these jobs represent a tremendous opportunity for workers from abroad who want to work and fulfill their duties as a husband or wife.
A son or a daughter.
Okay.
What does he say here? Some of the jobs being generated in America's growing economy are jobs American citizens are not filling. Don't you just want to get in his face and say, yeah, and there's a reason for that, you jackass? It's because we can't accept the wages being offered for your stinking job. But then he goes on to say that these jobs represent a tremendous opportunity for workers from abroad, yada, yada, yada. So what happens when you have, all of a sudden, you have a labor surplus? What happens, huh? Quickly now, that's right, wages plummet. Do you think these capitalistic pigs, and that's what they are only referring to the sort of labor that immigrants handle now? Farm work, meat packing, chicken rendering. Do you think that's what he's referring to? Don't be a fool. Now, this next statement reminds me of a scene in that Michael Moore film, The Big One, where he met the president of Nike and begged him to build a shoe factory in Flint, Michigan. Remember that? The Nike president justified sending jobs to China by saying, Americans don't want to make shoes. And then Michael Moore said, all right, if I find 5,000 Americans who would make shoes, would you, the Nike president, would you reconsider? We all know how that turned out, don't we?
Out of common sense and fairness, our laws should allow willing workers to enter our country and fill jobs that Americans are not filling. We must make our immigration laws more rational and more humane.
Yeah.
And I believe we can do so without jeopardizing the livelihoods of American citizens.
How? How, George? Go ahead. How? How? By bringing in an unskilled, low-paying, low-expectation workforce. How? How, George? How is that going to protect the livelihoods of American citizens? Oh, God. Don't you get sick of this? Don't you just get sick of this? Just doesn't stop, does it? Last one from Too Stupid to Eat a Pretzel here, where he explains how his temporary worker program will work. Now listen closely, truth seeker.
I propose a new temporary worker program that will match willing foreign workers with willing American employers when no Americans can be found to fill the jobs.
Oh, my God.
This program will offer legal status as temporary workers to the millions of undocumented men and women now employed in the United States and to those in foreign countries who seek to participate in the program and have been offered employment here.
Oh.
If an American employer is offering a job that American citizens are not willing to take, we ought to welcome into our country a person who will fill that job.
He should add, not willing to take for $3 an hour off the books, shouldn't he? Do you like the statement, to the millions of undocumented men and women now employed in the United States and to those in foreign countries who seek to participate in the program and have been offered employment here, who would that be? Are they talking about software engineers from India, or are they talking about lettuce pickers from Guadalajara or from Oaxaca or from some Mexican state that is slowly sinking into a morass of Mexican politics and poverty? What the hell is he talking about? What? Tell me, please, somebody, tell me the name of a company that advertises for undocumented workers to come to this country and work for one-tenth of what an American worker needs in order just to keep his or her head out of the muck. Tell me.
For men and women who seek to participate in the program, been offered employment here.
How much more of this are we going to take? Oh, man. Okay, let's go to Simple Scotty McClellan today. Now, on the same topic, reporter asks Scotty about Bush's immigration policy. First reporter, Scott, the AFL-CIO has historically been opposed to temporary worker programs, and a spokesman there yesterday reiterated his opposition, saying they thought that the kind of proposal that Bush is recommending would undermine workers' rights and would result in a decline in wages for the American worker. And this argument that it will result over time in a decline in the American wage base or American workers' wage, unionized workers' wage base, it all goes down the pipe, Scott. Right?
Yeah, no, I dismiss that. I mean, there are a number of jobs in this country that Americans are not filling for whatever reason.
No pay!
It provides an opportunity for those who want to come here from abroad to fill those jobs and help strengthen our economy even more. There's an important economic need that we're working to address here. And we're also working to bring about a more compassionate and fair immigration policy that will afford protections to those workers.
But don't you just want to put your hands around part of his body and start squeezing when he makes statements like that? We're working to bring about a more compassionate and fair immigration policy that will afford protections to workers? Are you serious? You rat bastard, you stand there and lie, and the American press stands there and allows you to tell lies like that? Oh, my God. But it just keeps on. Another reporter wants to know, what do you say to those who are on the unemployment rolls right now, Scott, who are feeling that this is just totally unfair to them and they need the chance to get a job? What do you say to them?
What we're talking about under this temporary worker program is jobs that Americans are not willing to take for whatever reason. That's what this is about. I mean, there are people currently in these jobs that are undocumented. And now we're going to bring about a process from which they can gain legal status and they can enjoy protections that other workers have.
You're a liar! What protections did other workers have? If the worker is not a member of a union, he has no protections. You lying thug! And even if he's a member of a union, he has no protections anymore. Because all that has to happen is what Levi Strauss has done, what Earthlink has done, what 1,000 companies have done. The job is gone. It goes to China. What worker protections, Scott McClellan, you lying pissant? What? Name one! Now, does a member of the working press ask him about that? No, of course not. And finally, a reporter asked about Pat Buchanan's column and comments today about Karl Rove. The reporter says, Pat Buchanan just weighed in on this. He calls it Bush's betrayal of working Americans, Scott, in his most recent column. Buchanan says, the policy was created by Karl Rove to corner the Hispanic vote. Buchanan said, quote, the president is buying Hispanic votes by selling out the white working class, which presumably has nowhere else to go, end quote. Scott, what was Karl Rove's involvement with this policy?
The president's the one who made the decision to move forward on this policy. The president has a long record of working to bring about a more humane, safe, orderly, and legal migration.
Oh, my God.
This goes back to his days as governor of Texas. The president is the one who makes decisions in this administration. Karl is a senior advisor to the president of the United States.
Yeah, well, that explains it. Now, Pat Buchanan had something to say. It's a scary day when I agree with Pat Buchanan and not Bill Press, but I'll have that quote for you coming back. But until that morning,
you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, yeah, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
It is wrong for the Congress to discriminate against Mexican trucks.
He's stupid.
Five before the hour. Okay, last one here is Pat Buchanan. During an MSNBC interview today, it's like I said, it's scary when I agree with Buchanan and not Bill Press. Although there's, you know, I've said it before. There's an awful lot that Buchanan says. It's the old, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. Here's Pat Buchanan.
The employers refuse to pay the wages an American needs to live with his family in this country in a decent way. They can't live on $5.15 an hour. And so what should happen is the employers should raise the wages of working men and women. There are tens of millions of working people who are losing jobs which are being sent overseas, and they're bringing in millions of workers who will come in and undercut their wages. This is a transparent sellout of working America, and President's doing it because Rove says the conservatives got nowhere to go. Let's go pander to Vicente Fox.
Yeah. And in that vein, Robert in Amherst, Mass., sent a letter to Peter B. Collins' program today, sent me a copy. Peter, here's what I came away with from Bush's new policy around unemployment of illegal aliens. The premise of the problem, as it was outlined by the experts, is that there are many jobs in the U.S. Americans don't want. Why? Low wages, no benefits, separation in relation to employment policies, dead-end advancement potentials, etc. I propose that instead of the government inventing a new policy around employing aliens to take these jobs, that the workers at those places of undesirable employment, fast food, health, work, retail, superstores, janitorial service, Walmart, etc., start unionizing those workplaces. Empower themselves for their energies at their work and employment. Raise incomes and benefits and create grievance procedures and fair and safe workplaces. Also, Bob writes, I recommend that all American and all workers insist on the raising of the minimum wage, so-called, to a living wage. Perhaps this is a better approach to issues around work and employment in this nation. So Bob in Amherst, Massachusetts, and Pat Buchanan, and I, and you, are all on the same page, aren't we? And Reverend Debut says, coming soon, a revision to minimum wage laws which says non-legal residents, or perhaps all non-citizens, are not covered by minimum wage law guarantees. This will give the cheap labor conservatives the opportunity to make brown people work for less than white people would ever accept. Have I said yet this evening how much I hate these people? All right, final hour coming up. Let's have some phone calls. What do you say? We've covered a lot of ground here. 800-TALK-YES.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
This is the IE.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
More countries have joined the protest against American proposals to place armed guards on U.S.-bound flights. Portugal is the latest nation to voice concern, as its civil aviation authority said that putting loaded guns aboard an aircraft could endanger it. In Britain, the pilots' union said that if the security risk to a flight is great enough to warrant an armed guard, the plane should not fly at all. Denmark and Sweden have also rejected demands for armed guards and aircraft. While the U.S. has introduced new checks at home, its efforts to tighten security on incoming flights have met with strong opposition. Brazil has begun fingerprinting and photographing U.S. citizens flying into its airports, apparently in retaliation for new security measures at U.S. airports. 2 years ago, a man in Staten Island, New York, discovered inside one of his pieces of mail a stack of fake documents, including United Nations and Defense Department identification cards and a note. "We would hate to have this fall into the wrong hands." The package, intended for a member of a self-styled militia in New Jersey, had been delivered to the wrong address. Starting with a single piece of mail, investigators discovered an enormous cache of weapons in Noonday, East Texas, including the makings of a sophisticated sodium cyanide bomb capable of killing thousands of people. Three people pleaded guilty in the case in November and are scheduled to appear before a federal judge for sentencing next month on charges of domestic terrorism. The Bush administration asked the Supreme Court to let it keep its argument secret in a case involving an immigrant's challenge of his treatment after the September 11th attacks. Mohammed Kamel Behoul wants the High Court to consider whether the government acted improperly by secretly jailing him after the attacks and keeping his court fight private. He is supported by more than 20 journalism organizations and media companies. Lucie Dalgish, executive director of the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, said she was disappointed by the government's request. "It just emphasizes our point that we're living in frightening times. People can be arrested, thrown in jail, and have secret court proceedings, and we know absolutely nothing about it." More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A teenage burglar escaped from the custody of security guards and then survived an 8-story drop out of a Times Square office building, police said. The 19-year-old woman was caught trying to steal wallets from coats in an office building, and while guards were waiting for police officers to arrive, she escaped, opened a 10th-floor window, and stepped onto a ledge overlooking busy 42nd Street, where police said she either fell or jumped and landed on scaffolding on the second floor, breaking several bones. The woman was arrested and charged with burglary. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica.
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
As a patriotic, tax-paying American, I, for one, am proud to see that George W. Bush is defending our shores against one of the more important terrorist threats to the American people, Cuban cigars. It almost brings tears to my old red, white, and blue eyes to see our president stand like a rock, using the full powers and majesty of his office to protect you and me from the unnerving possibility of incoming Cuban tobacco. To prevent a cigar invasion, our brave leader has boldly issued a presidential directive to stop American citizens from traveling to the Cuban island, which, as we know, is such a formidable threat to our national security. Words are inadequate to express the depths of my feeling toward George W. for taking away your and my freedom to travel. It seems that tens of thousands of Americans have been taking people-to-people tours to Cuba to see for themselves the pluses and minuses of that country under Castro. Many have returned impressed, not only with the beauty of the island and the people, but with Cuba's health care and educational systems. However, this independent judgment doesn't fit with Bush's official doctrine of demonizing Castro and economically punishing the Cuban people. And it also infuriates Bush's wealthy supporters in Florida's Cuban exile community. So, as of January 1, we Americans are banned from seeing Cuba for ourselves. Bush's crackdown on free travel has been building for months as federal agents have harassed legitimate travelers to Cuba by, among other things, ransacking their luggage. But 45,000 baggage searches turned up only 600 violations, most of them for bringing cigars and rum back to the U.S. Harassment hasn't stopped intrepid Americans, so now Bush simply dictates that we can't go there. This is Jim Hightower saying, doesn't he have any real terrorists to fight? To battle Bush's ban, call Global Exchange, 415-575-5543.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Turn up your microphone, Mike. Thank you. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. All right, I'm coming to your phone calls in about 15 seconds, but I got this email here from our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Regarding Bush's worker program. And Chris writes, in addition to dropping American workers' wages into the toilet, it creates a whole new class of homeless and or poverty-stricken people, something they've been playing at all over the world for years, they being the Bush crime family. The only difference this time around, Chris writes, is that instead of having to move out of the country and cause people in other countries to live in squalor and being able to keep it on the somewhat hush-hush, they're simply tilting the mirror and herding people into this country and doing it blatantly. If there is a saving grace in this story, Chris writes, it is this. They, the Bush administration, may have screwed themselves straight out of the White House. The scenario works only if and only if the American sheeple don't fall for the okey-doke. Bush playing the jobless in this country off against the newly arrived immigrant strawberry picker. Unfortunately, as proven millions of times since November 2000, the sheeple of this country have bought anything that sounds remotely good, truthful, etc. from their government. But if the sheeple don't blink and actually lay this at the feet of the thugs responsible, 2004, especially November, could be a very painful year for these killers. I'm not about to hold my breath, though. Chris in Minnesota. Excuse me, our senior correspondent. Okay, to your calls. Heidi is calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Heidi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm just...
okay, all right. We're both in rage.
I'm fine. Right. All right.
I have three quick comments/examples about how, if you pay the correct wage, there are Americans to fill every job.
Absolutely. Plus, there are Americans to fill every job, and we would have a surplus of jobs if they paid decent wages, not a shortage of jobs.
I would agree. Yeah. First of my examples is many years ago, I worked at a factory. I started there just after they finished killing the union, and they had just gotten a government contract that I still to this day don't quite understand, where they were allowed, the government would pay them for hiring Laotian refugees for $2 an hour.
Oh, my God.
So guess what started happening at the factory, and guess who they played off against who? They misdirected the attention of the factory employees to the Laotians. You want to be angry?
Mm-hmm.
Be angry at the refugees.
Sure.
So this is something that's been going on for quite a while, but it looks like the Bush administration wants to make an art out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I worked as an IT contractor for a time, and I have seen the company that I work through struggle mightily because so many different companies and even government, like the military, they're bringing in contractors from India who work for half or a third
right.
of what an American worker with the same certifications and long-term training would work for. And my final example, I know of someone whose job is to, he's a diver, and his job is to dive into the holding tanks at nuclear power plants and swim into the outflow pipes to clear them of blockages.
Oh, my God.
And his job, as you can imagine, has a very, very high fatality rate.
I would think.
But he's willing to do that job because they pay him so darn much an hour.
Right.
And his family will benefit if he dies, and that's all he cares about. So even that job, they were able to find an American for.
Right. Well, I agree with what you originally said. I don't think there's a job in this country that if it paid a living wage, there would not be an American to fill it. Let me just ask you, let me toss you a softball, because the immediate answer, there is an immediate answer, but maybe you can not give the immediate answer. Why do you think Bush did this, came out with this today?
Well, and the obvious immediate answer is to pander to the Hispanic
right,
vote.
Right.
But I think also a second obvious answer that's being given less often today is that this is a big payback to business. I mean, if they can make any kind of case that they can't find an American for any job, they can get their labor. They don't even have to go to the expense of moving their factory out of the country.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or moving whatever their business is out of the country. They can bring the immigrants here.
God. All right. Heidi, this is your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome aboard. I'm glad to hear from you. I hope you'll call again in the 6 weeks or so that we still have left on this.
I'm praying you have longer than that. You're my salvation some nights.
We'll find out what happens. Thanks for checking in, Heidi.
Thank you.
All right. I appreciate your call. You know, once again, that pesky fascism comparison. You know, Hitler's Germany had a lot of low-wage workers, too, didn't they? Slave labor, didn't they? Mostly Jews and Polish and Russians and people like that. What the hell is going on in this country, huh? What has happened? You know, I am so old that I can remember. Of course, I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. Blue-collar, unionized city. I doubt that there was a job in Toledo that wasn't a unionized job. I take that back. When I was 16 or 17, right after the first McDonald's in Toledo opened, I went to work there for 90 cents an hour. I think the minimum wage then was like $1.10. And they could avoid the minimum wage because they said they were not involved in interstate commerce. They used to talk like that back then. But other than that, I question whether there was any job in Toledo that was not unionized. The point being that, as Bart Kopp says, I'm so old, I remember when a man, and it was usually a man, could go to work in a factory and make enough money, you've heard this 1,000 times, to support his family, maybe a mother or father, the working man's mother or father, who might still say English as a second language, put something aside for his 3 kids or 4 kids to go to college, go into a pool with his buddies and buy a place on Lake Erie where they could go fishing in the summer when they felt like it. Now, I would say that a working woman could have done that, too, but she could not when I was a kid growing up. Why? Because working women at that time were paid about 60 cents to every dollar that that men got. That's A. B, women who went to work, unless they were divorcees or single, Especially women who took high-paying jobs in factories were seen as usurpers.
Why has she got the job? That belongs to a working man.
You understand what I'm saying. But the head of a household back in the 50s. I know it was a crappy time. Understand it was a crappy time. I'm only talking about the money. Could make a living wage. Factory workers in this country, unionized factory workers, the auto industry, for example, of what manufacturing is left, that is deeply, heavily unionized. I keep going back to the auto industry because there are auto industry jobs that pay with benefits and everything, $30, $35 an hour. How long do you think those jobs are going to continue? Huh? How long do you think those jobs are going to continue with the Chinese population getting to the point where they're starting to demand automobiles? Where do you think the manufacturing plants are going to locate? Eh? I don't understand it. Mark is calling from Dallas. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how you doing,
Mark? I know you have a rant on low wages and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Where do you begin?
Yeah, where do I begin? I kind of want to say I give up. I have 1984 pulled up on my screen. I was looking at the last paragraph.
Where he says he loved Big Brother?
Yeah, I can read it to you real quickly.
Go ahead.
He gazed up at the enormous face. 40 years it had taken him to learn what kind of smile was hidden beneath the dark mustache. Oh, cruel, needless misunderstanding. Oh, stubborn, self-willed exile from the loving breast. 2 gin-scented tears trickled down the sides of his nose. But it was all right. Everything was all right. The struggle was finished. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother.
Yeah.
Sorry to be so pessimistic. To add to Heidi's rant.
Well, you'll never get to that point where you love Big Brother, and neither will I, and neither will people who listen to this program, unless somehow they figure out a way to take us all into Room 101.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. It really is depressing. That's kind of where I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me, you know, how quickly things have devolved. But you can see it coming that industry is going to basically reclassify every job to a minimum wage job.
That seems to be the goal. And, you know, I can't help but fault, I don't want to get too complex here, but I can't help but fault Bill Clinton on this. He's the one who pushed and pushed and pushed. I think the idea of globalization is a good one, but mm-hmm. the idea of NAFTA sucked, and I think Bill Clinton knew it. That's why it just infuriates me when people say that Bill Clinton was a liberal. Bill Clinton was a corporate a conservative Democrat, or in my opinion, liberal Republican, if there is such a thing. And Bill Clinton has to take some responsibility for this. He has to. He has to.
Well, you know, I think the rank and file of the party got it right on this one because, you know, the people that are true Democrats, we understand that the DLC is evil.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
No, there's not an iota of doubt.
Yeah, not an iota of doubt at all.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, keep up and keep work. I'm going to keep listening.
Have you found a job yet?
No, are you kidding?
Oh, God, Mark, hang in there, okay?
I will, thank you.
All right, sir, appreciate your call. I don't know why. I don't know why I put it that way.
Well, I've got to say this. Bill Clinton has to.
Of course Bill Clinton has to take responsibility for this. NAFTA was signed on his watch. As much of a weirdo as Ross Perot was. What did he say? A giant sucking sound will be American jobs leaving this country. Break? I guess that's what the music means. Okay, quick break. We'll be right back. One open line here if you want to say something tonight about these topics we've been talking about. Come on, bring it on. 800-TALK-YES. Bring it on.
evening, soon one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor? Right. It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Es un enorme placer estar en España.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there.
Como estaré, me requiere, me requiere a la Casa Blanca, Señor Vicente.
The man is just stupid beyond belief. Why bother even doing parodies of him? Where were we? Nowhere? Oh, okay. During the breaks, everything just slides out of my brain. I told Kathy, it's like somebody put olive oil inside my, what is it, a brain sack? Is that what you call it? What do you call it? What's the membrane that your brain sits in? If you don't tell me, I'll have 30 people here who will email it to me.
Oh, you have the dura mater and the pia mater. And
okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I forgot.
And then there's the brain sack.
Yeah, go ahead. Make fun of me. Jeanette is calling from Denver. Hey, Jeanette. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, it seems to me that Hispanics are just being the scapegoat here, of being blamed for this corporate agenda and Republican agenda to have low-wage workers in the U.S. And the reason I say that is that illegal aliens come from many nationalities,
mm-hmm.
and not even one-half are Hispanics. So that means that some are Asian, and probably the majority are from Europe. And I believe that because that could be true, because Europeans have an easier time in getting visitors' visas to the U.S. and student visas to the U.S. And once here, they can stay and work and not be easily detected like brown Hispanics.
Well, that's true, but I would take issue with the number of illegal workers in this country who would be non-Latino or non-Hispanic, and I'll tell you why. I live in North Georgia. I live in Atlanta, North Georgia, which is a huge chicken rendering factory part of the country. There's probably more chicken meat processing in Gainesville, Georgia, and points north than anywhere else in the United States. And I have yet to see Eastern Europeans or Western Europeans working there for $5 an hour. What I do see, though, are just scores upon scores upon scores of undocumented Central American and Mexican workers. Now, I understand that some of the Eastern Europeans now, Bulgarians and Slovenians and Slovakians, people who lived in the Soviet bloc until the Soviet Union dissolved, that and they're white, that those people now are being exploited. But it is much easier at this point, the illegal workforce, to just walk across the Rio Grande or to come up from Nicaragua or Guatemala or El Salvador and get into the United States. So I don't think it's incorrect. I may be wrong, Jeanette. I haven't done any research on this, but I don't think...
Now, Mike, I think that you're in error because I just heard it on the news that not even one-half are Hispanic.
Hmm.
So that means that we have a lot of white Europeans who are here competing for high-paying jobs,
mm-hmm.
Competing with white Americans for those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not competing for the meatpacking jobs that you're talking about. Now, the other thing is that Hispanics really, I don't believe, are for this legalization of all these illegal aliens. And the reason that I say that is that Hispanics are already on the bottom tier of wage earners.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example.
Can you? I'll tell you what. Hold the example, and I'll get it from you when we come back from this break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me put you on hold. We'll come right back. Stay with us, y'all.
It was just a dream. All the covers that I see are different from the books I read. Everything is crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money? Could somebody please help out my family? My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break. He works all day, every day. My brother needs a place.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Here's a good reason to support renewable energy. It could help drive gas prices down. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Natural gas prices have risen sharply over the past year, and experts say the trend is likely to continue as demand for the fuel grows. Alan Nogi directs an energy program for the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Right now, we're seeing a major transition in this country where almost all new electricity generation has been natural gas generation, and it's proposed to even increase further in the next several years. This has created enormous pressure on natural gas prices, which have more than doubled this last year from historical levels. Almost all analysts are now projecting that gas prices will remain high for the foreseeable future.
Nogi says it's time to look at renewable energy as a way to stabilize markets. He says solar, wind, geothermal, and other alternatives to fossil fuels could help keep prices in check.
By developing renewable energy, we reduce the demand for gas for electricity, we create competition for gas suppliers, and that actually more than offsets the slightly higher cost of developing the renewable electricity technologies, both in our studies and in studies by the Bush administration's Energy Information Administration.
Nogi says the best way to boost renewable energy into the mainstream is to require utilities to produce some of their electricity from renewable sources. 13 states have passed these measures, and Nogi says they'll eventually help reduce the demand for and the price of natural gas. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as
you
I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. All right, we're talking with Jeanette in Denver. Jeanette, pick it up where we were there.
The reason there are a lot of Republicans and a lot of Democrats and the media are saying that Hispanics want to legalize all these illegals here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's true. Because Hispanics are already at the bottom level.
Right.
Hispanics earn less. Hispanics have less access to health care. Hispanics have less education and less access to higher education. And the example that I was going to give you is this. Right now, white women earn 27 cents less than white men. Black women earn 37 cents less per hour mm-hmm. than white men. Hispanic women earn 47 cents less per hour than white men. Now, why would native-born Hispanics want more Hispanics who would be low-wage earners like themselves to come in and compete with them? That is just nonsensical.
Well,
that's just a cover-up.
Well, I don't disagree with the premise of what you're saying, but there are, excuse me, there are a lot, and I don't know what the number would be, so I'll use the catch-all. There are a lot of jobs that are going begging because Americans, people who are wired into this system, With our house payments or our rent or our car payments, our college tuition payments, our credit card debt, jobs because of the pay scale we cannot accept. And that applies to American workers, whether it's a man or woman, white, black, Latino, it doesn't make any difference. Now, if you bring into that mix low-wage workers who are not going to live here, who are not going to be wired into the society, but are going to take $5-6 an hour and send about 90% of it back to Oaxaca, Mexico, or Guadalajara, or wherever they're sending it to, then I think what you're suggesting kind of breaks down. These workers are not competing with black, white, or Latino men or women in this country who are already wired into our system. Does that make sense?
No, because there's higher unemployment among blacks and Latinos,
right.
High unemployment. So they would take these jobs that maybe are being competed with, they're competing for, with immigrants coming in.
Yeah.
And the people who have mortgage payments because they're buying a house, they don't have the jobs that Hispanics are taking. They have good paying jobs, maybe semi-technical or white collar jobs, and those are the jobs that the Europeans, the white Europeans, are coming in. And as I said on the news, they said that not even half of all of these 10 million undocumented workers are Latino, are Hispanic,
yeah.
Not even half. So therefore, it appears to me that Hispanics are a convenient scapegoat to cover up this giveaway for corporations. And maybe even to cover up, who knows, maybe to cover up for the real majority of immigration, which must be European.
Mm-hmm.
Because it certainly isn't Hispanic. The news said not even half is Hispanic.
Yeah, well, that bears some checking out, some other sources. Jeanette, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. I appreciate your point of view there. And it does bear some further research, which we will do. I promise you on that. Dee is calling, our Omaha, Nebraska bureau chief. Hey, Dee.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing fine, sir.
That's good. I just had a few things to ask and say and such. One of them is, so you have this illegal immigration problem, which Bush, quote-unquote, tried to fix this program. And I have something to say about it. You know, it's temporary, so I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, of course this is to try to, you know, get more of the Hispanic vote this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if in 3 years he retracts all this, you know, and just says, oh, you know what, this program wasn't working very well, you know, if he gets reelected, of course.
Yeah, God help us. I you know, when you said in 3 years, I just got a cold shiver down my spine. You know, I hope this rat Fink is out of here in 11 months, but... I understand what you're saying. I don't understand why Karl Rove did this, and I'll tell you why. The Latino vote in this country, sure, Karl Rove wants to pander to any group that he can possibly pander to. This does not benefit Hispanics. It doesn't benefit anybody. It has to do with pandering to the Latino vote. On the other hand, what about the 9 to 12 million? Working class black and white and Latino Americans who are citizens of this country or who are permanent resident aliens or whatever we all are, who now get to see an immigration policy that's going to further erode wages, further erode what few benefits are left. I predict, and I hate making predictions, that there's let me hedge a bit. I predict the possibility of a tremendous backlash. What Pat Buchanan was talking about tonight. What the hell does this Bush think he's doing in further driving down the earning power of Americans by corrupting the workforce? So it may have an adverse effect. You know, Karl Rove has got to eventually step on the landmine. So far, he hasn't. Maybe this is the issue. You see what I'm saying?
Definitely. But I also have a question along with that, though. What would you say would be a good solution to the illegal immigration problem, especially coming from Asia and East Europe and Latin America?
Oh, man. I believe that every country – it's such a – the problem is so complex. First, I believe every country should have – some sort of policy regarding immigration. It should be there should be some sort of restriction. Now, having said that, I also say that to continue to have the Northern Hemisphere, for the most part, exploiting the Southern Hemisphere, for the most part, and I'm talking about economic exploitation, no wonder people try to get from Asia and Africa and South America into Northern Europe, into the United States or Canada. No wonder, because the Northern Hemisphere, the white part of the planet, is involved in total economic exploitation of the dark Southern Hemisphere. And I'm speaking just broad generalities here. So there has to be economic, if not parity, certainly economic justice. There has to be a labor force that is organized globally. I'm not saying every worker has to belong to the same union, but there has to be the unionization, the collective bargaining power of workers. There has to be some break on unfettered, unbridled capitalism, because when capitalism is not held in check, it is a monstrously destructive force, and we're seeing it happen all over the globe now. So the quick answer is there has to be immigration policy. The more involved answer, and it's only quick answer stretched out a little bit, is there has to be economic justice. Why do people want to come here? For the weather? Hell no. Why do people want to go to Northern Europe? Because they want to see the Arc de Triomphe? No. Because there are jobs. Because there's a way to make money. Because there's a way to provide income for the family back in Bangladesh or back in Guatemala or back in Ecuador. That's why people come here or to Northern Europe. And that's a result of exploitation, of capitalism exploiting the southern half of the planet by the northern half of the planet. And when you break it down, generally speaking, once again, that ugly face of racism is right there for everybody to see if they choose to see it. So I can't give you a simple answer on immigration. I know you weren't looking for one, but I say there has to be policy. There has to be policy. But along with the policy, there has to be at least the idea of economic justice.
Okay.
All right?
So I'm sorry?
No, I just said all right.
Yeah. I have just one other question, though.
Sure, go ahead.
This is kind of backtracking to yesterday. Do you know if this, I'm not sure about this, but this new law that was passed the day that Saddam was captured, this evil chunk of the
right.
Patriot Act 2.
Right.
Now, does that mean that people can go into your that the government can go into your credit card records too and see what you've bought?
The FBI now, if any field officer or FBI field, I'm not sure what the hierarchy is with the FBI, so I don't know if field officer, if they meet a bureau head or if they just mean an FBI special agent, but an FBI person writes up a declaration that you are part of an investigation.
Once, of interest.
Right. You're a person of interest regarding some investigation. It could be something going on in Maine. And D in Omaha doesn't even know about it. But if they want to get something on you, if they write it up that way, that you are part of or you are a person of interest, then yes, they can get into anything. Anything that they want, your financial records, anything.
That is really, even your credit card records. I mean, I
anything.
Are you about to go to commercial?
Well, no, I want to move on to a couple more calls while we still have time, Dee.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say this might be the last. I'll try to call again before you go, but if I don't, I'll miss you tremendously.
Well, we'll be around someplace, I hope. And we've got about 7 weeks. You'll call in again, Dee.
Yeah.
You'll call in before we leave. Thanks for checking in tonight.
Thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Jeff is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Maine. I'm originally from Maine. I've called you a few times now.
Yes, you have.
The rebuttal to Janet, because I certainly don't see any Northern European type people or Eastern European type people fighting for jobs here.
Well, that, Jeanette in Denver, I was trying to make the same point. Of course, what I see and what you see may not be, in fact, the truth. Jeanette said she heard it on the news. Maybe she heard it on, maybe it pertained to Denver. But I know here in North Georgia, and by North Georgia, I mean from just about Macon all the way up to the Tennessee and North Carolina state lines, immigrant workers here are from South Asia, and from Hispanic countries.
Yeah, exactly. And I know here in Santa Fe and most of New Mexico, the local Hispanics really do not like the Mexicans at all. And I'm hoping that this is going to really bite George on the ass. Oh, well, can I say that word?
As far as I'm concerned, you can.
Well, that's good.
Now, when you say local Hispanics don't like Mexicans, what do you mean?
Because they are competing for the jobs. Mm-hmm. And I know when I moved here, I'm an Anglo. When I moved here, there was a little bit of tension, not a lot, but a little bit of like, well, you've got a newer truck than me and you're buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about the same age, you know, 30 to 40.
Right.
And it's like, well, I'm working hard, and I'm taking risks, and I'm doing this. And it was okay. You know, you get accepted when you kind of say that. But the Mexican laborers come up, and I'm in the trades.
Mm-hmm.
And they work for almost nothing, and they smile, and they laugh, and they are nice, cleanly dressed all day long. You know, they put in the hours. And but the amazing thing is, and I saw this figure, there's like $30 billion goes back to Mexico every year.
Mm-hmm. Is it that much?
I read that in the paper, mm-hmm. and the amazing thing is that they will come up and work for 8 months out of the year, and they'll go home, and they can buy really nice houses mm-hmm. or ranches and
right.
do really well back in Mexico, which I find to be a little bit of a problem. It's like, well, fix your country.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come here and make money and then just go back and be another one of the nasty little capitalists
mm-hmm.
that's destroying your country. What is Mexico, 14th in gross national product, but 100 and something as far as the mm-hmm. standard of living for
On the other hand, though, Jeff, you can't blame people. One can't blame people for doing exactly what these undocumented, I'm assuming that's what you mean, workers do, whether they come here or go to the U.K. or go to Italy. You can't blame
you
people.
You can't blame them, but I think the opportunity maybe should be limited, that if you're going to do that, you can't just be having duality of nationality and come to America and make the money and then send the money overseas or, you know, out of the country
mm-hmm.
and better your life there and, you know, because a lot of them do work for cash here. I mean, I know stories of people who they'll go back to Mexico and their cousin comes up and uses the same Social Security number.
Right. Well, that's where the economic justice or the parity between the northern and the southern hemispheres, so to speak, between white capitalists and not white workers, where it is so necessary for that parity to exist. If workers in Mexico could make $26 an hour,
they wouldn't have to.
No, but what I'm saying is if they could make $26 an hour, which is about the average, used to be the average working class wage
right.
in this country, there would be no reason to come here. Like I say, people don't go to Chicago from Mexico because they like the weather.
Right, well, that's what I meant. They wouldn't have to leave Mexico. And the funny thing is I have an employee who is coming up for or is eligible for citizenship, and he's from France.
Mm-hmm.
And he's debating whether he really wants to be. He doesn't like France, but he's like, I don't know if I want to become a U.S. citizen. Maybe.
I know exactly how he feels.
Yeah, and I'm going, you know, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. And
yeah.
I'm thinking, I mean, I've gotten to the point of going, you know, how about we just, like, get rid of, like, California, New Mexico, Texas, Nevada, Arizona, and just secede them to Latin America, let corporate America take over that whole area, and I'm heading north.
Yeah.
Global warming. I'm thinking, I'm going north where we have water because, of course, we've got this big drought.
Well, the states you just mentioned are the ones that we stole during the 1840s anyway.
Exactly.
So, you know, they weren't ours to begin with, and we just went out there, killed a lot of Indians, killed a lot of Mexicans, and said, hey, guess what? Manifest destiny. Here we are.
Exactly.
White man's burden. Hey, listen, there's the music. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Es un hombre insincero de una familia muy rica. Bush es un hombre insincero de una familia muy rica.
Antes de que usted vuelva, quiero decirle que Bush ha vendido su alma. Gana dinero, Jorge Bush gana dinero. Gana dinero, Jorge Bush.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified, red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Well, did you have fun tonight? It's about four and a half before the hour. We don't have too much time left. That one promo that they ran during that spot set, as they call it, the promo for, I guess, the whole network, where they've got me saying, what is it? I am passionate. I like that bit. I'm a liberal with a microphone. It makes me dangerous. Actually, what it should say is I'm a liberal with a head cold, which I had, if you remember, Kathy, back when we recorded that. That sounds a bit asinine, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound just a little bit arrogant or a little bit uptight? Yeah, I think so. It's real funny to hear this network run those promos since we're going out of business. I mean, you know, hey, listen to IE America, really? Oh, let me get this said before we try to squeeze in one more phone call. The program was engineered tonight in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall, webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. I keep saying every night, check out MikeMalloy.com, and then look at the counter on the bottom there. Eight people showed up. You know, what is there? Something? Mark Marshall designed a wonderful website. Check it out, okay? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief, and Chris in Minnesota, our chief correspondent. Armand is calling from Bradenton. Armand, you got about a minute.
I think that this is obviously the other part of their scheme. He wants to pick up as much percent as he can of the Hispanic vote he doesn't have.
Yeah.
I think it's going to backfire on him. But more than that, this is their way to get the camel under the tent of the privatization. Because remember when NAFTA first went in, they said, oh, it's only the factories that'll leave,
mm-hmm.
that the people don't want to work at the jobs that the factories have. Look how far they've taken it. Look how far they've taken down the middle class.
No,
now,
boy.
This is the other pendulum swinging the other way. They'll use this to privatize everything. The media will back them up, sell everything, eliminating all these public unions and all these workers, and the people will have the perception that they're going to benefit from it, but they never do, just like things are not cheaper from Mexico that come here that used to be made here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another part of their scheme, another part of their sham. These people can't do anything in a true free market. If they really believed in a free market, they wouldn't have been there today. The labor would have went up to $15 or $20 an hour, whatever it took, in a fair, free, open market with fairness and freedom for the workers to bid
sure.
the jobs up that are available, and the market seeks itself out. But they can't play that
way. No, they can't. They can't play that way. You get no argument.
And can I say one thing real quick?
10 seconds.
I wonder how many of these people that would exploit these workers in this new position that can't form unions are getting federal subsidies, because 73% of the farm subsidies go to 10% of the farmers that are most well off.
Yeah, I hear you.
So how much of this is state sanctioned?
A lot of it. Armand, I got to leave it there. We're out of time. Call me before a minute left in the program. I'll see y'all tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. No more lies, no more.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God, help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern.